I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know, I had one way that I was going to open this show, and I just changed my mind at the last second. Don't you love live radio? You know my story. A lot of you do. But in the early years, I contracted Lyme disease, battled, and I still have some challenges. Well, in those same early years of our marriage, when I started to get a little bit better, my hubby was diagnosed with cancer, and we both battled fiercely with our health at a time when most people in their youthfulness feel their best. And around that time, the Lord spoke to us and said that we had a Joshua calling on our lives, like a Joshua leadership calling and all that that implied, and that our latter years later on would be greater than our former years, which put faith in us. Well, jump ahead. A year ago, Kevin mentored these six young men in the marketplace, and he called them Joshua's men. And about 6 months ago, not knowing that, one of my intercessors, who is just a fierce prayer warrior, had just brought up the idea of Joshua leadership. She goes, I feel like God is leading you guys into a Joshua season, not knowing any of the previous stuff, which is so interesting. And as some of you know, I've got some prayer meetings coming up very soon here for my healing. And well, guess what? Today is our 37th wedding anniversary, and we book our guests a good month out. And I got such a marvelous grasp of the obvious. It wasn't until I was prepping, even though Dr. Robert Morgan is one of my favorite guests, I knew that this show was coming up. It wasn't until I started prepping and looking again at his book that I realized this book's about Joshua and his leadership and the Israelites crossing over. And I just thought, you know what? We don't always see how things culminate and tie together. But I say that to say God's attention to detail is staggering. He's meticulous and he's miraculous. And whether we can see at times where he's given us a little bit of a glimpse that he is indeed working all things together for the good in our lives, or we don't always see it, we must know that he is doing it. He's working all things together for the good in your life when you love him and are called according to his purpose. There are details that have escaped your notice, but he's not missed a thing. He's moving. And right now he is moving in our midst in unprecedented ways. And I think if you just listen to gloom and doom, you're going to lose courage. But we're supposed to be strong and we're supposed to be courageous. If there was ever a time to be full of hope and faith and expectancy, it is right now. And I just love that my producer, Angie Smith, works behind the scenes to book these guests. We prayerfully say, Lord, give us the right people at the right time. And I have no doubt that Dr. Robert Morgan was appointed to be here today. Even though we've talked about this book before, some of you need to hear this message today. We're talking about his book, The Jordan River Rules. The same God who led you out will lead you on. Many people are in transition, so maybe you need to hear this today. He says, God intends for you to go forward. Everything so far in your life, including your Red Sea moments of crisis, is simply God's preparation for stronger days ahead. You hear that? Perhaps you've survived your own Red Sea experiences because of God's help. Now it's time to move onward toward all of the promises he's given you. The promised land of a rewarding future. The same God who led you out will lead you on. And thanks to Robert's ministry, we got a good stack of copies to give away of the Jordan River Rules. It's a little hardcover book, packs a punch. It's amazing. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing to 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from our guest. Join us for the Reading the Bible Together Holy Week plan, April 10th through the 17th. You can prepare your heart for Easter by studying and reading the scriptures as we walk with Jesus to the cross. You'll feel like you're right there watching it happen. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Robert Morgan is the author of over 40 books. Listen to this, with 5 million copies in print. He's appeared on numerous TV and radio programs. He speaks widely at churches, conferences, and schools and corporate events. And there's a lot more to be said about him, but we're so honored to have him with us today. Dr. Morgan, thanks for coming back to the show.
Well, you're welcome, Susie. And I have just written your name down on my prayer list. Mm-hmm. And also, happy anniversary.
Thank you. It feels like a very pivotal time in our life. So I appreciate your prayers more than ever. And you are no stranger to suffering and hardship and twists and turns, and yet you continue to declare God's faithfulness. And you've inspired me greatly over the years, let me just tell you.
Well, I want to tell you that I agree with what you say about the significance of certain dates and moments. When my wife and I were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, she's in heaven now, but on that day when we'd been married, we woke up and we said, this is our 25th wedding anniversary. That morning, we received awful news, and it just devastated me. And I thought, this day is ruined for me. But then a friend called me and reminded me that it was August 28th, that we were married on August 28th, and that's 8/28 on the calendar, as in Romans 8:28. And he said, you were married on 8/28. Everything today is going to turn for your good. And I can't tell you, that's been many years ago, but how that one sentence and that one awareness spoke to me, and I've kept it with me all these years.
Boy, that's so good. And it's such a picture again, isn't it, of the tension of joys and sorrows, at least this side of eternity. But one day, He'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. But boy, praise God for His word and for the community of faith in the meantime. Well, you know this because you've been on plenty of times, but we love to start every day just talking, making it very personal. What has the Lord been saying to you in your times with Him these days?
Well, you will never have a guest who will give you this answer. But I have been studying about the Antichrist. I've gone all the way through the Bible because of what's happening overseas and the evil of some of these dictators. And so I thought, how will we recognize the Antichrist? And I've gone all the way from Genesis to Revelation. I cannot believe how much the Bible says in describing this figure. But the best thing of all is in chapter 19, the Lord Jesus comes again and slays him with the breath of his mouth and with the splendor of his coming. And at that point, the world is released from evil. So I have been looking at the context of the times we're living in and this sinister, mysterious arch enemy of the Lord that we call the Antichrist. John called him that. And I've just been rejoicing that at one point in the coming future, he and the devil and all of this evil is going to be judged, and we're not going to have to live with it any longer.
Somebody got to give me an amen. Well, you know, I've heard this a lot lately. You released this book some time ago, but I'm sure you're hearing this as well. But lots of people are in times of transition. And these transitional seasons can make you feel vulnerable because there's an uncertainty around them. Talk about the transitional time of when Moses had died and then the Lord called Joshua to lead.
This is maybe the most powerful passage on the subject of leadership in the Bible. It's Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And after my wife Katrina went to heaven, I was reading in Joshua. And the Lord said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise and go over this Jordan into the land that I'm going to give you. And it's as though the Lord was saying, you know, your wife is in heaven and you'll be with her forever. But for right now, there is new territory to take. There is a new stage in life. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 33 that the Lord leads us in stages. And it's very helpful, I think, to recognize that our lives go through stages. We have young people all over America that are getting ready to graduate from high school or from college, and their life is, you know, they're going to be moving into another stage. Some people get a diagnosis of an illness, or some people go through a divorce, and others get a job promotion, and they're going into a new stage. And so we have these transitions in life. But I believe that every stage in God's will is better than the one that came before. And at least in many ways, in some ways, it may not be in every way, but in significant divinely given ways, it is better. And that all of the other stages have prepared us for what we're going into now. And this has just been very encouraging to me. I'm getting ready to go into a new stage in a couple of months when I turn 70. It'll be a new decade. And I've just decided that if the Lord lets me live this coming decade in my 70s, by His grace, will be the most productive of all that I've been able to do for Him. Now, the Lord may take me to heaven. That's up to Him. But I think we need to look forward with anticipation to every new stage, because God is leading us through these transitions.
I love your expectancy and your faith. I've got a number of friends who are doctors, and I was watching a live broadcast of a doctor friend of mine, and she was talking about just in health in the West, there's this expectation even after 60 that we're just going to plummet, and we sort of have these self-fulfilling prophecies with the way that we take care of ourselves. And she goes, it just, we're so fearfully and wonderfully made. It doesn't have to be that way. And we're going to pause here for a break, but I wonder how many narratives, you know, self-narratives and expectations that are so far beneath what God has that we settle for just because those are the talking points around us. So when we come back, let's talk about that. Like, what are some of these kind of some of the self-talk and beliefs that we that maybe stand in the way of us getting ready to cross over? Maybe we're just expecting to settle. I love that you're going, I'm entering a new decade, and if God keeps me alive, I'm believing it's going to be my most productive decade yet. Amen and amen. Talking to Dr. Robert Morgan, we got a good stack of copies of his amazing little hardcover book, The Jordan River Rules. The same God who led you out will lead you on. We'll be back in a minute. Bible says, you know, outwardly we may be wasting away, but inwardly we are renewed day by day. We are meant to go from strength to strength, glory to glory, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. As we walk with God and as we get more acquainted with His character, His promises, His faithfulness, we should be growing in expectancy. Talking to our friend Dr. Robert Morgan, he's just one of my favorites. He's got a little hardcover book that just packs a punch. It's titled The Jordan River Rules. The same God who led you out will lead you on. And he says, the same Lord who holds your future also holds you. Don't be hostage to your past. Never get stuck in the desert. Yes, there's value in every past experience, good and bad. You can glean a lot of lessons in the desert, discover a lot of grace, and develop a lot of maturity. But if it all equips you for something, more. Everything so far in your life, including your Red Sea moments of crisis, is simply preparation for stronger days ahead. And, you know, I was saying before the break how we tend to have this expectation, and my doctor friend said the same thing, where when you have it in your mind, it's all downhill from here, you know? You kind of walk out a self-fulfilling prophecy. So how do we lift our eyes and start to get a faith filter on our perspective?
I think it comes with maturity, with walking with the Lord, with having our daily time of Bible study, and getting a word from Him every day. And it comes, like you said, from talking to ourselves. We have to preach to ourselves. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the famous British Bible teacher, said that our biggest problem comes when we listen to ourselves instead of talking to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so when I find a verse that helps me, like rejoice in the Lord always, then if I get discouraged, then I just have to give myself a preaching to, a talking to. I say, why are you discouraged? The Bible tells you to rejoice in the Lord always. And so we can work our way out of this, by especially with the words of Scripture as we quote them to ourselves. I have a friend here in Nashville named Don Finto, who is 94 years old, but you would think that he was 70. He goes around the world constantly serving the Lord. And I asked him, I said, what is your secret, Don? And he said, well, when I was about 80, the Lord told me, Don, I never want you to act like an old man. And it reminded me that when my wife was alive, she would sometimes say, Robert, you're starting to act like an old man. And so I'm going to try not to act like an old man. Let's just, the Bible says that the Lord renews our strength and our youth like an eagle's. And so, you know, at some point, you are absolutely right that inwardly we are being renewed day by day, even while outwardly we are wasting away. But we can do the best we can to keep going inwardly and outwardly.
Come on.
And
amen.
We just have to make up our minds to do it.
Amen. One of the docs that is one of my docs who I have on the show every month, he says, don't let age be your cage. And I love that. I think that's fantastic. All right. Jordan Rule, River Rule, number one, realize that God means for you to move forward. We've kind of been talking about this indirectly, but just the idea that if every one of us right now in the sound of my voice, if you believed God means for you to move forward, what might that mean? And you said this, prepare for what God is preparing for you. Your next stage in life is God-planned. The one who knows the way through the wilderness also knows the way into the promised land. I mean, to tell you, that just makes me want to get up and shout. But say more about how important it is to realize that God means for us to move forward.
We always have a certain amount of fear about the future and a certain amount of sadness about leaving behind the past. I mean, that those are human emotions. But we have to remember that as God's children, now we're different from everybody else in the world, because if we know Christ as Savior, we are God's children, and the Lord is going before us. In fact, Psalm 139 says he goes before us and he goes behind us. I think he goes before us to prepare the way, and he goes behind us. He comes behind us to clean up the messes and tidy everything up. But he is going before us. And so we need to look forward and to anticipate things. If somebody is relocating to a new city, you know, there's a certain amount of anxiety about that. And there may be sadness in leaving behind your old home or things that you're familiar with. But you've got to begin looking forward to what is ahead. This is the secret of the Apostle Paul. Forgetting what is behind, I press on towards what is ahead, that I may win the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said that in Philippians 3. So I've just made up my mind and it comes down to this. We have to make up our minds to, by faith, look forward to what is ahead, because ultimately what's ahead is Jesus, and what's ahead is his return, and what's ahead is heaven. Things are going to get better and better. The book of Proverbs says that the path of the just is like the rising sun that becomes brighter and brighter until the noonday. So that's the attitude, Susie, that we've got to have.
So good. I'm thinking of that passage. Oh, I wish I could remember. It's in the Psalm somewhere. But your faithful promises are my armor and protection. And I was thinking, it is so easy to take our hands off the plow, or our hands even off of his promises in times like this. But our world has known other devastating, tumultuous times. And there were those who were taking their hands off in terror, which you sure understand. But then the others were pressing in and grabbing hold. And the history does record people who had faith on whom God moved and through whom God moved. And so if there were ever a time for us to be grabbing a firmer hold, you know, unswervingly to the hope we profess, it's right now. So maybe say a word about that, because he moves. He's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith.
Well, I love that verse in Hebrews, that we've got to take hold of the faith. We've got to persevere and take hold of the faith and of the hope that God offers us. And really, that was the theme of a little book that you and I talked about, Great is Thy Faithfulness, that God is faithful to us. He's going to keep every promise he has made. And if I go through a difficult time, I'll sit down in my anxiety or in my discouragement, and I'll begin reading where I left off. I'm reading right now through the book of Isaiah in my daily devotions. And the Lord always will have some promise for me there. And then I take hold of that promise, and it pulls me into the future. If you can't go into the future on your own, then just find a promise of God and take hold of it, and it will pull you into the future. And sometimes I've gotten into the future just by holding on to God's faithful promises. And you never go backwards when you do that. You always go forward.
So good. Thanks to Kathy. She texted in Psalm 91:4. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. That is fantastic. We've got a few minutes here before the break at the bottom of the hour. Jordan River, rule number two, say no to discouragement and yes to strength. Love it. Say more.
Yeah, this comes right out of Joshua chapter 1. The Lord said, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I used to be terribly subject to discouragement. If I got bad news or something went against me or a hope or a dream or a plan collapsed, I would just be so discouraged. And I'm still vulnerable to that, but I'll tell you, Susie, as time goes by, you learn that God's will is best. He has a very good plan. And the things that disappoint us in time will turn out to be blessings. It's God's way of realigning us back into the perfections of his will.
Man, I'm just pondering what you say, so many quotables, and I'm thinking what you said even a few minutes ago as I was listening to what you're saying just now, that grab hold of his promises and he will propel you into the future. His promises always lead you forward. And isn't it the case also that the fears and the drudgery and the accusations of the past pull us backward? I mean, the enemy wants us to be yanked into a past that God's not in, or yanked into a future that God's not in, as if he can do that. But that's where we go with our fears and our regret, when we're not looking at it through the lens of what Jesus did on the cross, you know?
Martin Lloyd-Jones, who I quoted earlier, said that if we ever look back at anything in our past with regret, we do not fully understand the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm just astonished at that statement, but it's helped me so much. Our past, with all of our faults and failures, is under the blood of Christ. It's as though it doesn't even exist in God's sight, and it shouldn't in ours. So that frees us just to go forward.
Oh, that's so good. I want to read this from your chapter, Do Not Be Afraid. In essence, fear is the sin of forgetfulness, forgetting the fathomless omnipotence of the Lord Christ and his truth. When that happens, our anxieties become a cycle of inefficient thoughts spinning through our heads like a whirlwind. Accept challenges as they come, but don't magnify them. Magnify him, and he will give you the land. We've got about a minute left before the break, but one of the ways you have found to magnify the Lord, two things that I remember you've talked about before. One is memorizing large portions of scripture. You memorize a lot of scripture, but also worshiping. Say a quick word about that, if you would.
Well, sometimes when I can't get into the Bible, my mind is just too tired or dull, I will begin opening the hymn book or playing a great hymn like Great is Thy Faithfulness and listening to it. Sometimes I'll put on my hymn tracks when I'm in the shower or shaving or trying to get ready for the day. And the power. Now, I love the new music, too, but for me, especially, the power of the classic hymns lifts us up, and the right music in our lives is critical to mental health, and there's no better music in the world than the classic hymns of the Christian faith.
Oh, and they're so theologically rich. So much of the time. Talking to Dr. Robert Morgan, his book, The Jordan River Rules. Love this. The same God who led you out will lead you on. Got a handful, a good stack, I should say, of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. The next rule we're going to talk about is this one. Step up to the moment. Are you in that moment? It's time to step up. More with Robert Morgan in a minute. You need to know that your God, our God, is still the same, and he's still keeping his promises, fulfilling his purposes, and it's no accident that he had you living and breathing on the earth for such a time as this. Your role in the greater kingdom story matters very much, and so it's important that you understand you're somebody made in God's image, you're a masterpiece, you're called, you're appointed, and God intends to get you safely home. We're not just trying to kind of survive the times. We're going to thrive in the times so that the world will know that there's a God in heaven who is who he says he is. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dr. Robert Morgan, and we're talking about his book, The Jordan River Rules. And I read this at the open of the show, but maybe you need to hear this, especially if you just tuned in. He says, God intends for you to go forward. Everything so far in your life, including your Red Sea moments of crisis, is simply God's preparation for stronger days ahead. Perhaps you've survived your own Red Sea experiences because of God's help. Well, now it's time to move onward toward all the promises he's given you, the promised land of a rewarding future. And now we are on Jordan River Rule number 3, step up to the moment. What do you say, Doc?
This is the last part of Joshua chapter 1, when the Lord said to Joshua, you get the people together and you get ready to cross the Jordan River and go into the promised land. Then Joshua conveyed this to the people, and the people said to Joshua, and Joshua is the Old Testament form of the name Jesus, whatever you tell us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. And this is what we used to call in the old days, total surrender. We say to the Lord Jesus, you know, I could have a lot of things I'm doing in life, but I just want to go where you send me and do what you tell me. And that's what it means to step up to the moment. And this is true, I think, at very important pivotal times of our lives. I remember when I was 19 years old, which was a half century ago, and I knelt down and my life was changed when I said this to the Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. But there's another sense in which I do this every day. I say, dear Lord, what do you want me to do today? I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. And so this yieldedness to the Lord gives him the ability then to manage our days and to use us. And to me, that's really what it means to step up to the moment. And that's how the Israelites prepared to enter the promised land.
Boy, that's so good. I've been telling myself lately, just because I've got a lot going on, there are enough moments in the day today to do everything God has given me to do today. You know, sometimes I think we add to our stress when we add to beyond what God's asking us to do. And you say this, our future isn't a matter of our own autonomous ambition. It's a matter of submission to the perfect will of God. There's no point going forward if it's down the wrong path. We aren't on earth long, and all is wasted by a self-focused life. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him, and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Whatever you tell me, wherever you send me. And I read that, friend, in case maybe you're listening to this going, I need that book. We got a good stack of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Okay, Jordan River rule number 4, find someone to help along the way. I love it. Say more.
As we go into the book of Joshua, we come to chapter 2, and this is the story of these two spies. I think they must have been very muscular, young Israeli secret agents who managed to ford the Jordan River at flood stage and creep into the city of Jericho. And they were doing reconnaissance work. And there was a spy, there was a prostitute there named Rahab, who took them in. And despite the fact that her profession was that of prostitution, she was the one person in Jericho who was seeking in her heart for the Lord. And she befriended them, and they befriended her. And it was a case of two spies helping a woman and a woman helping two spies. And the result of that story even filters down to the New Testament, because it was from Rahab's legacy and from her genealogy that Jesus was born. So it reminds us that even in very tense situations, even when we may be in danger, even in times of violence and war, there's always someone we can look around to help.
Oh, that's such a great word. Boy, we need to hear that. You're right in this chapter. Let's blanket our world with patience, kindness, and self-sacrifice. No scrap of sympathy is ever wasted, for God knows all of the odds and the ends of our decency. Our lives are not simply a mishmash of loose threads. They are pre-planned and they're precious. Our deeds echo into the future, even beyond our own span of days. The kind of things we do take on a life of their own, and only eternity will tell the full story. Oh, I love that so much. Okay, Jordan River rule number 5, expect God to guide you where you've never been before.
And this comes right out of the text of Joshua. Joshua told the people of Israel, consecrate yourselves, get ready, because the Lord is going to lead you where you have never been before. And I love that phrase. It really is true, whether we want it to be true or not. It is true that tomorrow we will be where we've never been before. We've never been in tomorrow before. We don't know what God has for us tomorrow. We don't know what's going to be in the headlines tomorrow. We don't know what message or phone call or incident or accident or blessing may come into our lives tomorrow. but God is already in tomorrow. And we stay close to him, and he guides us where we've never been before. And some people are making big decisions. You know, they're choosing their life's profession. They're choosing who they're going to marry. Or maybe like me, they've been through a bereavement and they've never been on the other side of widowhood. But God is already there. So this wonderful little phrase in Joshua, that you've got to be ready because the Lord is going to lead you where you've never been before. To me, that is a very encouraging phrase. There's a similar phrase in chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you.
You know, I'm thinking about the idea of, you know, some who would maybe, I mean, I like my predictability. I mean, I love the illusion of control, if I'm honest, because I'm a disciplined, task-oriented person. I'm not super adventurous, probably a little boring that way. And yet, the idea of God leading us where we've never been before, it does fill your heart with wonder and faith. But there's something in us at times where we go, you know, what do they say? People prefer a known captivity to an unknown freedom. There are certain things in us that really do have to die if we're really wanting to experience the fullness of where God wants to take us, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but there's, I don't quite know how to explain it, but I'll tell you what happened to me over the weekend. I was in Tupelo, Mississippi, where I was going to speak at a church. And when I drove into the hotel late Saturday night and parked my car near the entrance, or my truck. And when I got up the next morning and turned on my truck, something was terribly wrong. And, well, someone had come and cut off my catalytic converter during the night. And so at first, I just was terribly distraught. That's never happened to me before. And to be vandalized, and what do I do, and how do I get home? And I'm supposed to go to Houston and then to California, and what am I going to do? And then I just thought, well, I didn't even know that I had a catalytic converter. I don't know very much about cars. I don't know who did it. I'll rent a car. All of this is going to be taken care of, but I'm going to ask the Lord to convert the person who vandalized my converter. The great converter can track that person down and vandalize it, not vandalize him.
Yeah,
well, he
convert
might
them.
But
yeah.
Convert him. And I just said, Lord, you find that scoundrel and you convert them and show me what to do next. And so some friends in Tupelo where I was speaking said, we'll get your truck fixed for you. And another one said, I'll take you to the airport and get a rental car. And, you know, we're still working our way through it. But I will have to say, I did not become distraught through that. I just said, well, Lord, this has happened. Now, what do we do next? And so there's always going to be things that have never happened to you before, and they're not all good. But you learn that when the Lord is in control, you sort of go with things and try to have the best attitude you can and look around to see what he might be doing to bless you in the process.
Boy, that's really good. You said you don't have to, you don't know what the future holds, not even tomorrow. You're heading where you've never been before, but Jesus goes before you with his power, his precepts, and his provision. So all you need is to make the most of tomorrow's sunshine or shadows is knowing that Jesus goes before you. All right, Jordan River rule number 6, prepare today for tomorrow's wonders. What do you say?
And this is the verse that I quoted a few moments ago. It's in chapter 3 of Joshua. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do amazing things among you. When we devote today to getting closer to the Lord, he will devote tomorrow to getting us closer to whatever goals and ambitions he has for us. We are growing in life, and we are doing more good than we know. Susie, you and your broadcast and your ministries and your books, you're doing more good than you know. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ because our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And our biggest job is not to try to serve the Lord in magnificent ways. It is try to walk with him in intimate ways. And if we walk with him in intimate ways today, then he is going to bless our lives and our impact tomorrow. And when we understand this, it takes a lot of the pressure off. We don't have to perform. We don't have to accomplish all of these things. We certainly should have goals, and we should be diligent, and we should love what we're doing, and we should aim to do as much good as we can. But it's really the Lord who is doing the work. And our biggest job today is just to say, I want to walk with the Lord and study his word and memorize a verse of scripture and say, dear Lord, work within me today to accomplish your great purposes.
Amen. I want to repeat and paraphrase what you just said, because someone maybe needs to hear it. Our biggest goal is not to serve the Lord in magnificent ways, but to walk with the Lord in the most intimate ways, and he will do the great things in and through us. I think that is a powerful thought, because otherwise we get the cart before the horse. We start to make it about us and what we do for God. And it is important to serve him. But if we do it, if it's all about that, it becomes so much about performance and achievement and that kind of thing. But enjoying intimacy with God and fellowship with him, and then letting him work mightily in and through us, we know God gets the glory. He gets the credit, because all that starts and ends with him, you know?
Well, it's extraordinary. I spoke to some ministers in Houston yesterday at the Lanier Theological Library, and I told them that ministry is overflow. We don't go into our Bibles primarily to find sermons. We go into our Bibles primarily to feed our souls. And then what the Lord tells us in its richness, it ends up becoming Bible lessons or sermons, but it's the overflow of it that really, that's where the power is.
Come on. Amen and amen. As we go to break, I want to read an excerpt from that Jordan River Rule Number 6. Prepare today for tomorrow's wonders. And how might God be preparing you today or asking you to cooperate? Maybe he's bringing a conviction about something. Maybe that's not sin in itself, but it's something that hinders. You know how the Bible says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Maybe he's poking at something in your life and you're like, why? This never seemed to bother me before. Why is it bothering me now? Well, listen, because maybe God's preparing you today for tomorrow's wonders. And Robert Morgan writes this, a holy God needs holy people if he's going to do great things among them. Sanctity, consecration, and personal holiness are essential if our Lord is going to do wonders through us. We need our condition to reflect our position. Fantastic. More with Dr. Robert Morgan in just a moment.
I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else, and now I'm walking, walking, walking free. No more darkness, guilt, and lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell at my feet, and now I'm walking, walking, walking free.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, there's some good music out there. This is Susie Larson talking to Dr. Robert Morgan about his amazing book, The Jordan River Rules, 10 God-Given Strategies for Moving Forward, because the same God who led you out will lead you on. And thanks to his ministry, we've got a stack of like 10 copies to give away. I'm thrilled about that. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We're on rule number 7, trust God to turn problems into pathways. Love it. Say more.
This is the Jordan River story in the book of Joshua, when Joshua led the Israelites out of their encampment towards the promised land. They had a very big barrier, and that was the Jordan River. Now, you and I have been to Israel. I'll be there in a couple of months, and the Jordan River is very small. I could wade across it, but back in biblical times, the irrigation wasn't diverting the waters from the Jordan, and it was much larger, and this was at flood stage. And from what I've read, even early in the 20th century, when the Jordan River flooded, even strong swimmers couldn't swim across it. It was a very powerful river. But this was where God reenacted the miracle of the parting of the water, and he did this deliberately to remind, you know, Susie, I think a lot of people don't realize, who grew up with the Bible stories, don't realize that some of the Israelites who went through the Jordan River had been old enough to still remember the parting of the Red Sea. You know, they were maybe 12 years old, 13 years old. They didn't die in the wilderness. The children were old enough to remember it. And now the Lord replicated the miracle so that the waters of the Jordan River parted and allowed them to go through and reminded them that the same God who led them out of Egypt was now leading them on into the promised land. And so the problem became a pathway. And that's parabolic of what we have so many times in the Bible, when the thing that we dread or the issue that we have ends up in God's providence being the very thing that he resolves in a wonderful way and in a way that blesses us. So we have to interpret things not from below, but from above. We have to look down on things from God's perspective and allow him time to work through those problems until they become pathways for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been able to interview you over the years, and it's just always some of the things I love so much is your humility, even your honesty at times when you battled fear, anxiety, discouragement, because all of us do, but how you pressed into the Lord to get a perspective from God, and you'd press in until you got that perspective, and then you'd rise up and keep upward and onward. And I just can't tell you what it has meant to my walk personally and the way that you've walked your walk, and really appreciate it so much. And friends, I know it's been a few years probably since I've said this story before we get to number eight, but I have one of my sons lived in Nashville for 7 years, and the other one of my other sons was out there for 6 months. Anyway, I came out there to do a bike ride with my son that I would do every year, and it was 2 weeks after the Nashville floods. And so my one son attended Pastor Morgan's church, so he says, "You got to come to my church; it's great." Well, this is 2 weeks after the flood, and it seemed like every house had mattresses and furniture at the end of their driveway, and your church had become this emergency center, just tables and tables of diapers and blankets and all things that everybody needed. And you had damage in your church, but you still were in full mission to help the community who was traumatized by this massive flood. And then we're singing that song by Hillsong still about, you know, the God over the flood, and I will be still and know you are God. And I wept through the whole service. And I say all that to say you hold such a precious place in my heart, because while your church had taken on so much water damage, you guys just did not stop. You just kept going because you had a community that was more traumatized by that flood even than you were. And I just want to honor your leadership in that, because that just imprinted on me like I can't even tell you.
I remember that, Sunday, and I remember you being there, and I remember that song. And yeah, what I remember is I think that when we started that song, people were seated. You know, usually we have people stand, but we went into it seated. And one of the leaders of our church, a layman, a wonderful man who had lost his total home and his whole family had been run out and their home was gone. But when we started singing that song, he just stood up. And as he stood up, we all just stood up. And it was a powerful moment of worship. And I guess, you know, it's almost worth going through difficult things to recognize how God sustains us through those difficulties, gets us to the other side, and how in the middle, the praise and the worship that we have towards the Lord can strengthen our hearts, change our attitudes, and turn curses into blessings. That's what the Lord does. He turns curses into blessings.
Boy, that is so good. And you think about, you know, worship to me takes on a whole new meaning. When you're singing, you know, when the thunders roar, I will soar with you beyond the storm. Father, you are king over the flood, and I will be still and know you are God. There's something about right in the middle of water damage and tables full of stuff to be declaring our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And wow, it was so powerful. So anyway, upward and onward we go. Rule number eight, build a monument. You said the Almighty has a unique plan for each of us that involves leaving a legacy with an echo chamber that will reverberate until Christ returns. Do not underestimate how the next stage of your life will influence generations yet unborn. Find a way to preserve a testimony. It can be monumental. So powerful. Say more.
This is when the Israelites had crossed over to the other side of the river because the water parted for them. And Joshua sent these very strong iron men of Israel back into the river to get these huge stones and to build a monument so that in future generations, when children said to their dad, "What's that monument there for?" their father could say, "This is the story of how the Lord did a miracle and parted the waters." And it reminds us that we need to leave some kind of record of our lives. After my wife's death, I had to revise my last will and testament. And I put the first two pages, Susie, was my testimony. I just said, before I do anything else, I want my children to know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who saved me, who has led me and guided me all my life. Mm-hmm. And I want you at all hazards to maintain the integrity of the doctrine of the gospel. And so we have to find, you know, if it's leaving a video record of our life or if it's writing out a little booklet of what God has done for us. I wish that my great-grandparents had left a little book about their life, but they didn't. And we have an obligation to pass on our faith. And so there's a lot of ways of doing it, but building a monument, this is what the Bible calls an Ebenezer, is an important ingredient, I think, to a well-lived, fulfilled life.
Oh, so beautiful. Jordan River rule number 9, you're not in charge, but remember who is.
I love this story. It's when Joshua then, having crossed the river with the Israelites, didn't know what to do about the city of Jericho. And he was out reconnoitering and trying to figure out the way to go. And there was this figure here, the captain of the Lord's host, who I believe was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Take off your shoes, Joshua. This is holy ground. And now let me tell you what we're going to do. Take your armies and march around Jericho." And so Joshua didn't have to figure out how to do the impossible. He just had to follow the Lord through the impossible situation. And he saw how the God of the impossible solves things. And we have impossible situations in our lives. I've got things that I wish that I could change them or do something about them or have some control over them. But it's amazing how little we control. But the Lord is the God of the impossible. So we do the possible and leave the impossible to him. And we're not in charge, but we've got to remember that he is. He is Lord of all, and his providential hand is rearranging. It's ruling and overruling in all of these affairs.
Amen. And that really is the only way we're going to have rest in our heart and peace in our soul. Okay, the final rule, we've got just 1 minute. Encircle obstacles with biblical faith and the shout of victory.
So the Israelites came to the city of Jericho, and they marched around it one time every day for 6 days and 7 times on the seventh day, and they shouted the victory, and the Lord collapsed the walls of Jericho so the Israelites could go right on up through the valley and possess the promised land. And there are times when we cannot pull down those walls. We may have some problem or obstacle, something in the way of our forward progress. So we just have to encircle it with prayer and with praise and with perseverance. And then as we see the walls begin to collapse, we shout the victory and praise the Lord.
Amen. This has been fantastic. I can't thank you enough, Dr. Morgan, for your time. And I look forward to celebrating your next book in about a month. You're coming back. I can't wait to talk about that. God bless you for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Susie. And the Lord bless you richly.
Thank you so much. Robert Morgan, everyone, fantastic conversation. The book we drew from today, The Jordan River Rules, and we'll leave that drawing open for a little bit longer yet. Have a really blessed night, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.